sincerely desire your prayers tonight. I'd like to start with a verse in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. There's one little phrase in here I'd like to really have the Lord make it to stand out in our minds tonight. I'll start with 1 Corinthians 2 and 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I think Paul recognized the importance that our faith be in the power of God and not in the wisdom. I don't know, it almost sounds to me like that maybe Paul could have took that course if he'd have minded to. Maybe he thought that he had the ability to speak those enticing words, make points, be able to out-argue or those kind of things. But he said, I purpose not to do it. I purpose that your faith would not stand in the excellence of a man's ways or the way men does it or men's thinking, because it's too important. Those kind of things fade. Those things give way. Those things let you down. But it's very important that your faith stand in the power of God. That what when we, it's more than just faith to believe, but it's faith as in life faith. It's what I believe. It's what I hold on to. That it would stand. That it would be able to work in my life. Make a difference. It's power for tonight. It's able to work. It's influencing in my life. Many, many people that I've been in contact with, run into with, they'll come to a place. And they will come to a place to say, I can't live that way. Why not? I cannot love that person. Why not? My faith is in the power of God, not in myself. I cannot live to that kind of a standard. I can't live to that kind of a place. I can't live to that kind of a grace. I can't perform. I find myself not performing. I find that the neighbor does something and I'm upset. And many people justify that reaction or that way or that attitude. That attitude that's not like Christ, but justify it. Many people justify it through Scripture, so-called, or through religion, or through things, or through a continual repentance, or those kind of things. But Paul said, I'm not coming to you to give you any kind of wisdom or formats or list or rules that your faith is going to stand in, but your faith is to stand in the power of God. A power of God makes a difference then, because I'm going to tell you tonight, God's got power enough for you and I to live in this world the way God would have us to. That He would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's Luke 1 and 73-74. The power that's able to do that, we can do that. He grants it. He grants it unto us tonight. We can do it. We don't need to be an excuse-finding people. But more than that, this wisdom of men and the wisdom of... It'll disappoint you. It'll disappoint you in the end. So Lord, help us tonight. He don't want our faith to stand in the independent, you may say, ideas of man, or the collective ideas of man. He doesn't want it to stand in the sects and creeds of this world, of the religious orders of this world. These things are faulty and failing. He wants our faith to stand in the power of God, the ability to overcome. And you tell me tonight, what can't we overcome in the power of God? What has to overcharge me? What has to overtake me in my life? What evil, what bad thing, what attitude do I have to hold? What disposition do I have to hold, contrary to the life of Christ? What do I have to hold that I cannot overcome by the power of God? That's right, Brother Tom. There isn't any. There isn't any. If you'd follow me a little bit, I want to talk about the idea of influence just a little bit. The world has a great influence today. It always has, but we may say I've separated myself out of there, and yet the world's influence is there around, and we need a power to stand up against that in this our day, to be able to be victorious over it. I want you to follow my thinking a little bit, and I realize I'm taking some liberty. I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm going to speak a little bit about the first few chapters of Genesis. In the beginning, God created male and female, Adam and Eve. He made them. He put them in the garden. You remember the story of Adam and Eve? And in the cool of the evening, the Lord God would come down and walk with them, and they would commune with the Lord. I'm always fascinated by that, because I kind of interject myself into a situation like that and think of what that must have been like. And I don't know what they was like, but I know my inquisitive nature. I know I'd be asking the Lord a whole lot of questions about creation and understanding of workings of things and those kind of things. And I don't know how long they communed, but it would be impossible in my mind to think that that communing didn't play a great effect in them. There is no indication after the fall that their minds was erased of that. They had it. And if you remember, after they fell and they put the Lord put them out of the garden, put a flaming, remember the flaming sword that kept them from the garden, and he put them out. Well, then they had children. Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. It wasn't too long after that they began to make sacrifice to the Lord. I believe that ability to do that, and I'm taking liberties, but follow me. They made sacrifices to the Lord. I believe that came from an understanding that they had of what they had done and what they were trying to do to get back to God's graces. They was doing that from an understanding of what Adam and Eve had, and they began to make sacrifices unto God. And it pleased the Lord, because the Lord said unto Abel that he approved of the sacrifice. But he said unto Cain he had not respect. So Cain, in his bitterness, stood up and he rose up and he slew his brother. And then the Lord cast him out, cursed him, cast him out, and then Adam and Eve had Seth. On in Genesis, the story goes on. And there come a time that the Lord said that he looked down upon mankind, and only the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. But there's some other little things in there to think about. The scripture says in there, and you can look at it in Genesis, but it says that the son in those days that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And if you'll follow me a little bit in this, I've heard all kind of explanations for that, from space beings to spatial men from God, all these kind of things, the Son of God. But in just practical terms, what it's talking about was the descendants of Seth had followed the patterns that Adam and Eve had prescribed, and they were called the sons of God. They made sacrifice, they served God. On the other side was the descendants of Cain, which was purely the daughters of men, and the scripture says of them of certain things that they begin to remarry. You see where one of them had two wives, and you see where instruments was made and these different things was made. You'll see the context of that, of their lives and versus their life. But there come a time that the influences came, and one looked over, the sons of God looked, and they saw the daughters of men, and they had become beautiful women. They had become attractive women. They were alluring women. No doubt they were indecent women. They didn't have the structure in the way. But the sons of God looked at the daughters of men, and they were fair. They begin to take them unto themselves until the point of the whole thing and the influence of that world had come to the point that the whole world, the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts, had come to the point that it was only evil continually. Well, I don't know about you, but it sure seems like our world's fast approaching. That kind of a thing. And I'm talking about the influence that has out there that drew, and that isn't a novelty from that to this. If you look in the scriptures, what was Samson's downfall? A woman. What was Solomon's downfall? Woman. What got David in trouble? Woman. It was the fairness, and it was the attractiveness, and the influence of that thing was pulling and was pulling. Paul said, I don't want to come and try to deal with that in the wisdom of men. You're going to have something to stand in this world, folks. Yes. I'm going to tell you, I love everyone tonight. And I want everyone to get in their heart what they need to be able to be successful in serving God. I can't give it to you. We can't get together and give it to one another. This has to do with you. Having the power of God to stand. It has to do that I'm going after that. I'm not going for the ways of the world. I'm striving for that. I want the ways of God. I want the power of God to endure in my life. Folks, I'm going to tell you tonight, brothers here, if you've got a wife and you're not treating her right, I want to give you some advice tonight. There is a God with the power to stand. The power to love, the power to do right. There is a God that's able to make us do it. Wives, if you're here tonight and you're not the wife you ought to be, there is a solution to that. There's a power to stand. It isn't about us getting together and trying to dictate and make a rigid way of you doing things. No, it's by having something in your heart that works. It works, folks. I found it to work. God works in our life by the power of God. Not by the dictates of men or religious orders or anything, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of God that helps me to overcome. There's been things that I've come up against that I said, I don't see how I can do that. You probably heard me tell a story a few years ago. I had a situation to where I had quite a violent attack against me. Guy beating on me, trying to beat on my head. Jammed a rifle barrel into the side of my head, left the place of my head, had to chuck back, had gritting as he was pulling the trigger. Said, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to blow your head off. Those things. I come away from that, God blessed, and in the time, God gave me such grace. But there come some attacks after that, too. And there come some times, how dare him. You know what I'm saying? No enemy comes. I'm driving down the road and the family's all asleep and there's nothing to do but think and meditate, and your enemy comes in and starts this bombarding of my mind and saying it's unjust, it's wrong, and something should happen bad to him and those things. And you know what happened? I found the power of God. Oh, but I had to work for it, folks. I had to find it. I had to find that place, and I begged the Lord, Lord, I don't, it's destroying me. I feel it inside of me. Is it right? Do I have to be destroyed? The enemy comes along and does this to me, but do I have to be destroyed in my soul too? No, folks, that's my part. My soul is continually in my hand. Folks, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There is no circumstance that can overtake you. There isn't one person that can take you down. I find that I'm my own worst enemy. And you'll find you're your own worst enemy too. and there is not enough devils in hell to take us out of the Lord's hands. It's only us. Lord, help us tonight to realize that it's me that does that. It was the sons of God that was willing to start looking at the daughters of men. It was them that was willing to come to that point. And when they started making those decisions, it was natural that the influence of that began to deteriorate them until in the generations the only thoughts that they had was lustful and evil and cheating and lying and all of those things, except for Noah. Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He did not go. And I'm going to tell you, according to the Word of God, if Noah can do it, we can do it too. One man, Noah, condemned the world through righteousness. Do you realize that what was meant by that is that if Noah could be faithful and be a righteous man in that evil day, every man could. He condemned them by a life that he lived. And by the power of God, you and I can live through this world and being successful, overcoming the problems. If somebody comes and does something even terribly violent to you, there is a grace. It isn't natural. It isn't of men. It isn't dictated by trying to work it up. It is of the power of God. There is a scripture of a man that was blind in the scriptures, and Jesus came and healed the blind man. Those that was against the Lord came along to the blind man and told him, tried to get him to change. You remember that? They come and they even talked to his parents and tried to say, they tried to find some information. They wanted to say, oh, he wasn't really blind and those kind of things. So they said, he's of age, go talk to him. And they went to him and said, we know this man's a sinner. Give God the glory. And this man said, you know, you're into politics. I mean, that's basically, you're into that. And he said, I don't know about that. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know about all that. He said, but this is what I know. I was blind, and now I see. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't take that from the blind man, folks. That blind man had that, and all the devils in hell is not going to take that experience away from him. You can call him a sinner. You can do anything you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, that man came and touched my eyes, and I can see, and I never could before. And you can't take that. And I'm going to say today, your experience with God, your individual personal experience with God is what can't be tucked away. When the Lord was there, and he was, and Peter, do you remember this story? And they said, they were saying, you're different ones. And the Lord said, Peter, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say you're Jeremiah and some Elias and all this. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You didn't get this from the intelligence of man. You got this from a revelation to your heart. A revelation inside. You've been there. Peter, you know you've got the revelation now. And then that's when he said, thou art Peter. And upon this church, it wasn't Peter. That's wrong thinking. That's not what he was saying. It wasn't on the man that the church was built. Folks, it was on the absolute revelation of God to Peter. That's what he was saying upon this rock. You know, the church is built on the revelation of its members. It's because I have a revelation. And my heart of salvation can't be stole from me. The devil would come by and say to me, you're not saved. And you know what I say? You're a liar. I can point him and tell him, you know what kind of a man I was and how different I am now. Because of the power of God, we stand. Our faith and all that. Folks, sometimes we look at the onslaught of what's coming on to our world, and it's immodesty and immoral, and it's dishonest, and all the things that's flooding into our world. We're not going to stand on that. But we can stand by the power of God. Let our faith stand by the power of God. Do you know the Lord tonight? You can. Do you have some bitterness in your heart? You don't have to. Do you have some places in your life that you know? You know. I can't point them out. God sees them. But do you have places in your life tonight that you know you don't stand right before the Lord? Do you know there's places in your life, if the Lord would split the clouds tonight and call you, could you honestly be absolutely confident I can stand before Him? I know Him. My sins are under the blood. I've lived before Him. Can you honest? Is there any place? Because if there's not, there is that you can do stand by the power of God. I can say, I fought that battle. And now I can say, I hope nothing good for that guy that put that to me. I pray God would make a friend someday. I pray that that man would find salvation before he leaves this. I don't want anything harmful or hurtful to happen to him. My biggest desire is that we could be brothers together. And I'm going to tell you, that's the grace of God. That's God's grace. I'd like to look at a scripture over in 2 Samuel, 16th verse. Oh, I'll tell a little bit of this. David, King David. Well, let's just read it from a... I'm not real good with all these words. Sixth verse. The man comes out and he says in the last part of the fifth verse, and he come forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all of his servants of the king. David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right and left hand, or on his right hand and on the left. He came out, hollered out, bloody man, that means you're a murderer, son of Belial. He was putting it on pretty good, wasn't he? Here comes a man. Here's King David. Got all the resources. I don't know what they must have thought of that lone man, because David's mighty men was to the left and to the right. He had quite a group with him. And this man came out, sounds like lone, called him a murderer, son of Belial, started throwing rocks at all of them. Well, one of his men rose up and said, King, you just give me leave. I'll go over and take his head off. That's a way to deal with him. Let's go take his head off. David said, 10th verse, and the king said, what have I to do with thee, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? I know this guy was riled up. They was riled up, and you're saying something against the king, and David simply said, let him curse. Who'll stop him from cursing? Who was the worse off for it? Lord, help us tonight to mature in God. Yeah. Cursing won't hurt you. It's hurting him. We struggle and we strive, and I'm speaking from experience of what I know and understand. I've seen it in families, groups of people of all kinds lose people that love the Lord, get involved in stuff and lose the whole idea, lose the whole purpose. It's not about a struggle between me and you. There's spiritual struggle going on. Who's going to rise up and be big enough to be there and be the one that makes the difference? Who's going to be the like the Lord in it? Curse him. Well, let him curse. Let him curse. The Lord has said, curse David. You ever feel like you're cursed and, oh, everybody's against me and they're doing this and doing that, and if we're not careful, we'll take a real carnal, fleshly attitude about the whole thing, and we want to cut them off and draw a line and all that. Paul didn't want us to stand in the wisdom of man's thinking. He wanted to stand in the power of God. The power of God that's able to allow us to be what we're supposed to be no matter what people do. They can't tear you down, folks. Only you can do it. Only you can allow that bad thought. Only you can allow that thing in your heart. When the devil comes, and he's going to come, but it's you that opens the door for those things. We stand in the power of God. Let our faith stand in that, and we can rise up and say, no, I will not take that part. Lord, give me the power and the grace to stand here and be what I'm supposed to be when this is going on. Yes. You make a difference. Yes. You make a difference. Oh, I remember I was counseling with a sister one time. She had a real a lot of trouble in the marriage. And she started asking, she was asking me, us, about the situation, and so I just started telling her. And after a little while, she said, "Well, what about him?" And I said, "He ain't here. What do you want him? I could sit here and we could team up together and make you feel real good about how, what a bad man he is. But you come to me for help." Help! Do I have something in your heart big enough? I can't change everybody around. You can't either.
Yes.
But we can have it in our own hearts. David, I appreciate this. In the 11th verse, David said to his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." Oh, I want to tell you, we don't need to allow any of those things, folks, to hinder and hamper our lives. But we need a relationship with the Lord for ourselves that works, that stands, that can't be took away. The blind man's experience was never going to be took away from him. He had stood in the power. He had stood in the place to see the power of the Son of God. It couldn't be removed from him. He knew that he was blind. You can say, "I think you used to be able to see." You can make all kinds of accusations in what you think, but there was one man that would always know, wouldn't he?
Yes.
See, that's the way it needs to be in our lives, of all the accusations.
Sure.
I know where I'm at. The Lord bless. Over in the 5th chapter of Matthew, I suppose some of the greatest words ever spoken. In the 43rd verse, 5th chapter of Matthew, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." Now, does he mean that? Does he really expect us to love our enemies? Well, I mean, what we want to do is all the enemies to be made friends. Well, if all the enemies were friends, then they wouldn't be enemies, and there'd be no use for the Lord saying this. The fact of it is that there is enemies, and you'll have enemies, and there'll always be enemies. And what am I going to do with the enemies when I have them, because I'm bound to have them? And what am I going to do with them? What this says is, to me, is that it ain't saying those that you're an enemy to. I don't think we're supposed to be an enemy to anybody. But you'll have enemies against you. And what's he say to do? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. How? How can I do that? I don't feel, if I don't feel, how do I do something like that? You know what I'm saying? Abuse. How do I take abuse? How do I take people slandering my name? How do I take those things that's not just? It's not just. Well, I'm glad that the Lord gave us an example. He gave us an example. He took it on for us. That's what they did to him. I was in prayer for a few days one time. I remember saying to the Lord, "I sure want to be more like you, Lord." I thought, you know, you usually think when you start praying something like that is the way you want it to happen is, I know the way I wanted it to happen. I wanted this fuzzy, warm feeling to come over me that made me gentle and loving to everybody. That's what I wanted. And I was praying, "Lord, I want to be more like you. You were kind and you was patient. And I just want to be more like you." And it was in that kind of prayer. And we had went to Pennsylvania, come back from a meeting up there. I was just serving the Lord and doing what I thought the Lord wanted me to do, and praying to be more like Jesus. And I come home and my neighbor comes across the road, and boy, I mean, he was really letting me have it. I mean, he was letting me have it right there in front of my family and children and all, and he was partly drunk, it seemed like. I could smell it on him anyway. Boy, he just really let me have it good. I'll tell you, I felt so bad. But the old enemy came too after a while. I started thinking. You know, his grandmother lives right across there, and she would call us to ask us to ask me to come over and mow her yard or rake leaves or get the, help her. And her furnace went bad, and I went and helped her get that going. I mean, just many times that just as soon as she'd call, I'd say, I'll be right over. Kept helping them, and so I started. Lord help me, I started complaining a little bit about the circumstance and kind of feeling a little self-pity about it. And I started telling the Lord, I'd do anything for him. I'd go over there. I don't know why he'd feel this way about me. Why I helped him without price. I didn't charge. All I did was want to help him. And I didn't want to do nothing but good. And then they persecuting me. And the Lord says, yeah, that's what they done. I mean, I heard it in my mind just as plain. Yeah, that's what they done to me. And you want to be like me? You've got a good chance now. And God made me the perfect situation just like he was. Doing good. He went around doing good. He went around to serve people. He had a desire to do it, and people started persecuting him for it. And then how did he respond? See, I wanted to be like the Lord. And now the Lord makes it. He tailor-made it for me. Now you can be like the Lord. And now I'm saying, Lord, I understand. I understand that I got my opportunity now. So I was just out of my way now. I'm going to win that man. And I made a purpose, Lord. I prayed until I didn't have those hard feelings, and it didn't bother me. And now I'm on the offense. So I'd go out, and he'd pull out of the driveway. It was all over his dog coming into my fence yard, getting my trash and taking it into his yard. The Lord wasn't wrong either, folks. I mean, I couldn't understand him being so mad at me for something his dog done. But you know, I started waving at him, and boy, he had get this mean look on his face, and I'm gonna tell you what. Me and my family was over, and we was painting our house, and we was having a good time. The girls was out there painting. We was all out there one pretty day, and he was kind of softening, you know, a little bit. He came over, and he said to me, he said, you need some help moving them ladders? And I said, well, we could probably get them. I'll help you do this. And I got this, and I got this extension roll. And he was wanting to just give me stuff. And in a little while, we were standing there, and he said, been watching your family. He said, that's the way a family ought to be. You know, I come to find out that he was separated from his family, and he hadn't seen his son for all these years, all that, and he was looking at the family, said, that's the way a family ought to be, right? You don't know about people, folks.
Right.
You don't know. And God does know. And we're not to stand in judgment. We're not to stand in the wisdom of men and to try to do this. And I'm going to tell you, if it had been the old Marty, I could have fought him out there in the street and I felt a bit bad about it, and I'd have never had a friend. I got a friend now. I got a friend that wants to loan me his stuff. He makes a point to loan it to me. He'll come over when he sees I'm doing something. He'll come over to loan it to me. I don't have to go borrow it. I've won it. The Lord has done it. The Lord was there to do it. It was in the power. Let our faith stand in the power of God. Oh, how many times people, and I don't mean to sound criticizing, but I know it's so many times of people that just seem to have such a burden. Remember my family. Please pray for my family that they be saved. And I know it's God's calling them to be right in it. God's calling for higher levels there. It's their place. Oh, if they just let the light of God shine in their hearts, they could win their family. God could see, the people could see something of God there. But all too often it's striving and it's struggling and it's putting flesh in there. This scripture says, and this is the Lord talking, it's not me. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. Because that's what He is. That's what God has done to us. That you might be the children of your Father. When I think of that scripture, I've told this many times, but as I think of that scripture, it always comes to my mind about what I read about the salmon in the north, in the Pacific Northwest. The lifespan of a salmon is as the salmon go up and they spawn up these small, these rivers and up to the heads, up into the, where the water is shallow, and they spawn, and the eggs hatch, and the little hatchlings start swimming out of there, and they swim till they make their way to the Pacific Ocean, and they live the course of about 3 years out there in the ocean where there's a lot for them to eat and grow, and then about 3 years they grow up, and maybe it's different on different types, but researchers have said something that is, to me, is just an amazing fact of God. That a salmon will not go up the river it didn't come down. It's an old ancient voyage of theirs. Their fathers did it, and their fathers before them, and their fathers before them. It's an ancient trail to them. They won't go up a river that they didn't come down. What they went up is where they spawned at the end of their journey. I don't know how they know God put it in them. And they'll swim, and they fight, and they struggle, and they get up there only to lay their eggs, only to do their part, and then the life goes on, and it's another cycle, and it comes down again and again, and it's an ancient trail. And I'm going to tell you, that's the way I feel about this. This is from the time Jesus hung on that cross and looked down and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Without bitterness, without hurt, without bringing retribution, He loved those that done it. He loved the ones that drove the nails. He loved the one that put the spear in. He loved the one that spat upon Him. It's an ancient trail, folks, and the Lord handed that spirit, the spirit, the power of God, He handed it down to, in just a little while, it was manifest in a man named Stephen. And Stephen was there, and yeah, He gave him a good, strong rebuke and gave him some words of life, and they said that he was full of the Holy Ghost. The power of God was on him. And you know, they began to stone him to death. And what did he say? "Lay this not to their charge." The old, same old thing ended up popping up in him. And there was a young man there that held the coats of the ones that was throwing the stones. And he was right there in it. And there wasn't long before the Lord got a hold of him. And he was able to write words like we just read. That we might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He went from that place of a help to be a murderer and he went from that place from the experience. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Paul had an experience with God that could not be shaken. Do you know how many times you can read in the scripture of several times that he started off and saying, "And I was on the road to Damascus." I wonder how many times Paul started off his discourse with, "Brethren, I was on the road to Damascus. And God met me there in a shining light." I'm going to tell you, he had a testimony that could not be shaken. It was founded in the power of God. God had said, talk to him, "Jesus, who is this I'm speaking to, Lord? I'm Jesus from whom thou persecutest." "This is Jesus. I've been persecuting him, and now he's visited me." I'm going to tell you, it rocked his life. But Paul said of himself, "I was ignorant. I thought that I was doing God's service. But when I seen it and beheld it, I got something now to stand on." Isn't it a miracle when you change? My sister, Robin, she called me one time and she said, "Marty, the greatest miracle has happened to me." Because I remember thinking, what would you think about a statement like that? What is the greatest miracle? You know, in the Bible, the greatest miracle that ever happened was when, according to the scriptures, is it the day of Joshua that the sun? See, every other miracle had to do with the earth and this and that, but God actually changed the universe at one point at the prayer of Joshua, I think it was. It was considered, it said there was never a greater time that God ever worked than in the day that He answered the prayer for him. That's mighty. But there's a miracle There's a miracle that's bigger than that one. It's the miracle to be able to have victory and change in your life. From that old ingrained thing that's there, to be able to change. She said, the greatest miracle happened to me. She said, I've been praying and praying that the Lord would help me to change. And she said, there was an event happened, and I should have acted a certain way, and praise the Lord, I didn't. Got victory over that thing. Standing by the power of God. God's able, folks. He's able tonight to help you and I live soberly, righteously, and godly right here in this present world. Do you know, old preacher, Brother Clifford Wilson used to tell us, he said, do you have the power to tell your hands not to steal? Yes, you do. Do you have the power to tell your mind not to think evil thoughts? Yes, you do. By the power of God, you have the right to control, to have victory over. We're masters. You know the scripture that talks about we're kings and priests. You know what a king is? It's impossible to be a king without subjects. You've got to have a kingdom to be a king. What is our subjects? The passions, the desires, ourself, our flesh. We're kings over it. We rule it. We master it by the power of God. There is no excuse tonight, folks. If you got something, anything in your life tonight, I implore you, seek God. He's the master. He can help you tonight get victory over these things. If you've got bitterness in your life or possibly life's just not went well for you and you have a sense that God's been unfair. No, He hasn't. He's wanting to bring you to a place. If you've got bitternesses and cause peoples and listen, folks, we're human and it isn't downgrading. It's just getting it where it's at. We get those things happen in life. And after injustices, it's a hard thing not to feel slighted. It's hard to not feel bad over it. Oh, one time I went around to where my woodshed was at. I was going to get my chainsaw, and my chainsaw was gone. And I had just been the days before telling the Lord, Lord, I surrender everything to You. My house, my wife, I don't have anything. Lord, it's all Yours. Lord, my life, everything, my will, my chainsaw's on. You know, I've been down to how happy I was, and I wanted it to be. I got my chainsaw, and it was the red. Lord, I need some chainsaw. I need some chainsaw. You know, and I said that. It was all, I'm telling you, when it was God's and I committed it, you know why? He's got a thousand chainsaws for me if I need them. But I'm going to tell you what really happened. My brother, a tree fell across the road, and my brother had just come up to use it, and he brought it back in a while. But you see how we get ourselves distorted? So distorted over things that isn't even real and right. But when we do that, we're trusting in the wisdom, the thoughts of man. We're to stand. We're to stand solid and firm in faith, in love. What can rock my love to you? Nothing. Nothing. Not if I stand in the power of God. It can't rock it. What can affect? What can take me down? Can anything overtake me tonight? Is as Paul said, is tribulation going to do it? Is that going to separate me from God, from Christ? No, that ain't going to do it. Is tribulation, is distresses going to separate me? No, none of that's going to do it. Because I don't stand in the wisdom of men or in the counsels of my own heart. Proverbs 28:26 says, the fool trusteth in his own heart. You can't trust in your own heart, your own emotions. We don't stand in that. We stand by the power of God. So let our faith tonight stand in the power of God. Realize God's got victory tonight for you. He's got victory for you. If you don't love, you can. If you don't have grace for a situation to go through it, you can have. You ever have a trouble with attitudes? Okay, I'm the only one. So, but we were human. And from time to time, these things work. You know, there's victory over attitudes. Now, come on. You don't have to tell me, but does anybody ever get discouraged? You know you do, but I'm telling you by the power of God tonight, there's victory over discouragements. There is victory. Because we don't stand in our own thoughts, our own opinions, and in God there's no discouragement. When we're putting ourselves in the hands of God, it's not depressing, it's not discouraging. You feel free tonight. You feel free?
Yeah.
Be free tonight. Let God help you get rid of the bondages in your life. The bondages to things, the strings that holds on to the things, whether it be money, people, whatever it is, turn loose. Turn loose. Be free. Tell my sister one more time. She bought a new car back when she first got saved. She had a little old car, wasn't very dependable, and she ended up buying a brand new car. Her desire and purpose was to be able to drive from Charleston to the service there where we was at, which took about 4 hours to do it. She'd get up real early in the morning, drive halfway. Her and my dad would drive that way over there, and she got this new car to do it. She didn't have it no time before she was at the camp meeting there. She had just got it. Brother backed into that car. Brand new car, and he backed into it. Oh, and I'm going to tell you, he was apologetic. I'm so sorry. I still remember what she said. It's only a car. It's only a car. You didn't rob me of anything. It's just a car. As long as this thing can get me to service, she said, I'm fine. I'm going to tell you, there's victory. There's victory. Be free tonight by the power of God. You pray for me.